how well does your life, the behaviors of your life, reflect who you are? How well do your behaviors, your life, reflect actually your identity? You know, I read something the other day by the columnist from the New York Times, David Brooks, who wrote that, you know, there's in some senses two selves in each person. One self, is sort of out there seeking success, sort of writing their own resume. The other self seeks connection and love and community. Actually, the values that write are really great eulogy. Are you more writing a resume, or are you more sort of getting the information together for a great eulogy? What goes on in your life and the way that you live it? You know, in the gospel that we have today, it's an interesting gospel. It's one that you've heard read many times, John chapter 10. It's where Jesus basically starts using, once again, the I am statements. In here, he's, I am the gate for the sheep. But you know what? He does it a lot, saying those I am statements. The I am statements are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. All statements of identity rather than just behavior. Where do those I am statements come from? You all remember that story. The I am statements come right from the story of Moses when he goes and he meets the burning bush. He's out there. Don't forget, Moses grows up in Egypt. Egypt needs to be, you know, rescued. And, you know, the house of Israel is really in turmoil. He basically commits murder, flees out. He's in the desert for 40 years. And then all of a sudden, one day while he's out tending the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, he looks over and there's a bush burning, but it's not getting consumed. And he doesn't know what to do. And he says, I must approach this bush and see what it's all about. And as he gets closer, all of a sudden, what's the bush say? He says, don't come any closer. Take your sandals. You're on holy ground. Then all of a sudden, the bush, God speaking through the bush, tells him that he, a fugitive for murder, God wants him to go back into Egypt to come and be the liberator of the nation of Israel. Get him out. Get him out. Moses has a little bit of a discourse in there and doesn't say. Finally, he's trying to look for reasons why he can get out, so he figures he'd ask the bush, well, what should I say your name is? And what does the bush say his name is? I am. And he's not quoting Popeye there. He says, I am. I am. Well, the I am statements in the Gospel of John particularly are all I am statements connecting actually Jesus with God who is in that bush. It's to show. Because don't forget, the Gospel of John, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You know, and God dwelled among us, and he pitched his tent with us. That's what it tells us. And the I am statements are all statements of who Jesus really is. He's trying to make out and tell, I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door that lets in. I am the gate. I'm the one that takes care of these things. He's stating who he is. Because you see, it's not what you do that makes up who you are. It's who you are that makes up what you do. And to be a Christian means that you are a child of God. And so that the actions that you do in this world, the life that you reflect in this world, should always reflect that being a child of the Most High God. I wonder how well you do that. What are your I am statements? You know, I hate to say it, when I was trying to think of the I am statement in me, it probably would have, the first one that would have come out would be something like this. It would have been, I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong. You know, I like to be right. You know, anybody here not like to be right? But you know what? When right sacrifices relationship, you got a problem. When you got to be correct and you miss connection, something's not going right there. God calls us into a place where all of a sudden we reflect all that he has done for us, all that we are in ourselves. And don't forget, if you're baptized, you've been adopted into the Christian family. Your identity now is a son or daughter of the Most High God. How well do you reflect that? Do you do it well or do you not do it so well? You know, I find it in my humanness, I do it well sort of when I'm in a nice environment and everything's going well. But the moment I get into a place where things seem out of control, I don't do so great. You know, then I reflect the fear. Then I think, well, I got to protect myself, so I better take charge of things. I better be in control of everything out here. I know none of you ever want to be in control of everything, but I do every once in a while. The truth of the matter is that, you know what? We're called to not reflect fear, but to reflect faith. We're called to be people who reflect the generosity of God, not the scarcity of this world. To reflect all those things that God has given us, all those places. But how well do we do that? Are you writing a resume or are you writing a eulogy? Because the truth of the matter is, if you're writing a resume, then you're just going to tell all the things that you do well, but you won't really care about how you encounter other people and how you care for other people. You'll simply probably care about how you get the job done. And that's not who you are. If you realize who you are, you'll naturally come out and do the things you're supposed to do. You'll find that your tongue will be put in check at times when it needs to be put in check. You'll be slow to talk and a little quicker to listen. You know, it's interesting for me because moving through life of really trying to reflect who God has made me, who God has called me to be, you know, and living that out in everyday life, I'm good until I get on I-4, you know? But the truth of the matter is we got to be good no matter where we are. And it's not for the people around to see, but for us and God to see. You see, what you do in the silence is really who you are. It's where your head goes, not necessarily always with the actions you take. I mean, I confess there are times when sometimes if somebody does something wrong to me, my behavior comes out exactly right. But in my mind, I'm trying to nice them to death. I mean, you know, oh yeah, I'm praying for you, but you're on my prayer hit list, not on my prayer list. The truth of the matter is we're called to be fully who we are. And that who we are is that person that God made you, that child of the Most High God, a child who has got all the inheritance of God, a child who's got a father that will take care of us in every situation of our life, that will be there when we don't think we have the strength to do it ourselves, that in our darkest moments will bring a light to that place. When we're going through that place where it seems like the end, that he'll walk us right through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, that's the God that we have, and we're his children, so he's going to be with us and never give up on us. He holds on to us, and he never lets us go out of the palm of his hand. You know, it's interesting for me because those I am statements of me, the more I reflect on it, I really want a better eulogy rather than a resume. I want to be the kind of person that has the qualities and the values that necessarily people don't say, oh yeah, that's Jim, a priest. Rather, they say, oh, that's Jim, he's really kind. You see, that's where I think we're called. It's not so much what you get done, but rather sometimes how you get it done. You know, I want to close with a prayer that I may have read to you before, but it's from a 17th century nun, and I've always loved it. And I think it says what I'm trying to say in just a few paragraphs more clearly than probably I could have even said it. It reads like this: Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself that I am growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful but not moody, helpful but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all, but thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. Seal my lips on my aches and pains. They are increasing, and the love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I dare not ask for grace enough to enjoy the tales of others' pains, but help me to endure them with patience. I dare not ask for improved memory, but the growing humility and a lessening cocksuredness when my memory seems to clash with the memories of others and the facts. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be mistaken. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places, in talents in unexpected people. And give me, O Lord, the grace to tell them so. Are you writing a resume? Or are you trying to prepare your eulogy? As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come full well knowing that you have a Father in heaven that desires and is capable and willing to be with you in every situation and take care of every one of your needs. That you trust in him more than you've ever trusted before. And that you walk out so that your life reflects all those, all that relationship that you have with him. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.